Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. Have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well, and you can get all of our podcasts there or wherever you like to get your podcasts. One of the greatest mysteries is that of the church. Why the church? What is the purpose of the church? Not all churches agree, even within what the world would say is Christianity. There's different thoughts, different ideas, a lot of social changes that are impacting churches, and a lot of disagreement. So are the churches all right in some things or wrong in some things? You know, there's a lot out there to consider. And most people, when they think about going to church, they usually think about, well, what one's close or, you know, one that is convenient. I recently drove past a new neighborhood that has a new church building as well. They built the church in the neighborhood right around it. And so that's pretty convenient for people. They've got their church right there. And some people even want it more convenient than that. People go to church online. Well, the point is that there's just so many different options, so many varieties of teachings, of places to go, or ways to access religious teaching. And so it's confusing. It's a lot of confusion. Why the church? Why does it exist? And we have to look and see what the Bible says about it, because otherwise there's just a lot of opinions of people. But what does the Bible say? Why does the church exist at all? And what's the point of it? Is it even worth going to? I mean, there are many people that don't even bother. They don't go to church. So what does the Bible say about it? We need to understand why the church. First, let's just notice what the word church means. And this is a quote from Mystery of the Ages. I have a few quotes from that book today. It's a free book at thetrumpet.com written by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, who died in 1986. But he wrote extensively on this topic, and notice what he writes there in The Mystery of the Ages. He says, "The word church is an English language word translated from the original Greek ecclesia," and that's spelled E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. And that means called out ones. He says, Old Testament Israel was usually called by the term congregation. In some respects, the word congregation is synonymous with the word church, yet there is a distinct difference between the terms church and congregation. The congregation of Israel was separate as a separate nation, but they were not called out ones spiritually in the same sense that characterizes the New Testament church. So the word there is very important, the word church and what it means. It means called out ones. Members of God's church have to be called out. That's what they are by definition. They're the called out ones. Notice Matthew 16. We have a few passages today that talk about the church. And so if you've got a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out so we could look at these together and see what we can learn about the church. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Jesus Christ talking here to his disciples, and he's talking to Peter specifically. He says, "And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or the grave, "shall not prevail against it." So Christ built his church. Peter was the chief apostle, but Christ is the rock that it is built upon. When he says, "Upon this rock I will build my church," he was talking about himself. But Peter was in the position of the chief apostle. Christ was establishing the church, and he was getting ready his leadership team, and he needed a chief apostle, and that would be Peter. Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong writes, "Stated in more clear English, Jesus said, 'I will call out of Satan's world disciples to grow into the altogether new and different world, which will be God's kingdom.'" And in Ephesians 5:23, it is stated that Christ is the head of the church. So we always have to remember that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Peter was the chief apostle, but he wasn't the head of it. the apostles through the years have been leaders physically, but Christ is the head. They have to follow Jesus Christ's direction. Christ isn't divided, so there can't be all sorts of churches all over the place that are teaching sort of different doctrines. There has to be one group, and Christ is the head of it. So how many did Christ call out? You know, he was on this earth, did a lot of miracles, so how many people did he call out? Well, in fact, not very many. Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages, he says, to the shocking surprise to nearly every reader of this volume, I will state first what the church was not and is not. It is not the instrumentality by which God is trying to save the world. Few may realize it, but Jesus made no attempt to gain converts or to invite people to, quote, give their hearts to him or to, quote, accept him as their personal savior. On the contrary, he called out, drafted 12 disciples. The word disciple means student. These 12 were the students being taught by Jesus the true gospel of the kingdom of God. And you can go and study the history for yourself. I mean, most people were against Jesus Christ. He chose a few. He drafted a few. And we notice this in John 15. If you'd like to look at that, John 15, we'll look at a few verses in this chapter. John 15 and verse 16, Jesus says, you have not chosen me. He's talking to his disciples and those that are called throughout the ages. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Jesus Christ there says, look, you didn't choose me. I have chosen you. That's what he did when he was on this earth, and it's the way he continues to work. And we'll look more specifically at that in just a moment. But notice the way that the majority feels about those that are called out. Remember, the church is made up of people that are called out. It's the called out ones. Verse 19, he says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, called you out, therefore the world hates you. It hates you. So what does he mean by that? Well, he's talking about the majority. The majority of the people in this world, the world, they really hate those that God calls out into his church. And why is that? Well, it's because the world hates the message of God. It doesn't really want to obey God. You can look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Satan, in fact, is the god of this world. And that includes false religion. Religion that looks good on the surface, might look righteous, but it doesn't follow God's laws. Christ doesn't lead it. And in fact, the more you look at it, the more scandal and the more disgusting, quite frankly, things that you see. Things that are clearly against the law of God. And there are churches today that they're sort of arguing about, well, what do they do with all of these social changes? Who do they let into their groups? And, of course, most of them just go ahead and capitulate with the times because, well, they need congregants to come in there. Their main concern is, well, just bringing in a lot of people, even though they're breaking the laws of God. That's why the world hated Jesus Christ. They hated his message. They didn't want to follow God's laws. And he says here, look, verse 19, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So there are churches out there that have, you know, millions of people. Does the world hate them? No, they are the world. They're part of it. It's part of the system. So you look at what Jesus Christ says here about his church and how he started it and how it continues. He was pretty specific about the way the world would feel about it. Notice verse 18, if you just back up one verse here. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Jesus Christ was killed, right? He was crucified, and we know that was according to the Father's will, and that needed to be done, but they still went ahead and killed him because they hated his message. And he tells his people throughout the years, those that he calls out, those called out ones, he says, well, if the world hates you, well, you know they hated me before they hated you. Notice verses 23 through 25. Christ continues and says, he that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Why did they hate Jesus Christ? Well, we talked about it, but it's because they hate God's law. They hated him without a cause. He didn't do anything wrong, of course. He never sinned. And those that he calls and chooses, well, the world doesn't care for them. They're not of the world because they're called out of the world. God the Father is the one that decides which individuals to call to Christ. And they are called out of this world. They're to be separate from it. Not to follow the traditions and the social changes and all those things that the world's, you know, so into. But to follow the laws of God. God the Father decides which individuals to call to Christ. They're called out of this world, and that includes being called out of traditional Christianity in some cases, into God's church. Notice John 6 and verse 44. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus Christ says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. God the Father has to do the calling, and then they have to come to Christ and repent and be baptized and change and grow and be part of the body of Christ. But God the Father does the calling, and it's not a lot of people. Now God does have a plan to offer salvation to every person in due time, and for most, that time will be after a resurrection. But God the Father does call out a select few now. Why does he do it? Why does he do it? I mean, now we're getting to the real point here of why the church. I mean, there's a lot we could discuss, and we're just hitting some high spots here. But remember, the church is made up of called out ones. God the Father is the one that calls them out, and they can come to Jesus Christ, and they can then begin to be instructed and taught and begin to live differently than the way the world lives. They begin to live according to the law of God. Here's a quote from Mystery of the Ages. And he's discussing why a few are called now. It's not the majority. It's a very few. Why are the few called now? Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages, he says, now, why the church? Why this group of called out ones? Christ came also to call out selected and chosen ones from Satan's world to turn from Satan's way into the way of God's law and to qualify to reign with Christ when he comes to replace Satan on the throne of the earth. And of course, that will be at his second coming. It says those called into the church were called not merely for salvation and eternal life, but to learn the way of God's government and develop the divine character during this mortal life in the church age. Such a pivotal point there, an important quote. Remember, the church is made up of called out ones, called out of the world and out of the ways of this world. And they're called into God's church to learn the way of God's government and develop the divine character during this mortal life in the church age. It's in preparation to help bring other people into the God family. It's not a selfish endeavor. And again, God has to choose people, and he does, and he makes those decisions. And then people have to respond to that calling. But notice, again, John 15 and verse 16, we read this earlier, John 15 and verse 16, Christ says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, See, God calls people into his church so that they produce fruit and that that fruit remains and grows. God's people are to develop fruit. They're to develop God's character. Galatians 5 lists the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You can look at that to see those fruits. But God calls people into his church for a reason, and it is to prepare to help bring others in, to bring the whole world into that family of God. Mr. Armstrong writes in Mystery of the Ages, he says, bear in mind further, in order for Christ to restore God's government over the earth, he would need with and under him a qualified and organized personnel of God beings, all having rejected Satan's false way and having proved their loyalty to the government and righteous ways of God. See, that's what God's people, those that are called out, called into the body of Christ, into the church, that's what they have to do. Reject Satan's false way, which is the way of the world, and then prove their loyalty to the government and righteous ways of God. Live by God's laws. Christ did that, and the world hated him for it. Mr. Armstrong continues. He says, God's church was designed in his supreme master plan to prepare that dedicated and organized personnel of God beings. The church then became God's instrumentality for aiding him in bringing about the salvation to humanity. See, God's will is that all will come into his family, and most will be willing to do that when their minds are open, when they're called, when they can be worked with at that time, when Satan's no longer ruling. And again, that'll be after the return of Christ for most people. But the goal is to bring in as many people as possible into the family of God. That's what God's plan is, and the church plays a major part in that. It's being used to train rulers and teachers and those that can help Jesus Christ bring more people in. It can help serve more people. It's a brilliant plan, and yet the world's so confused on it because, remember, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, Satan's a god of this world, and of course, he's going to deceive people about religion. He doesn't want people to understand why the church, so he just puts churches every which place and confuses everybody about it. But the church is a group of called out ones. God the Father has to do the calling, John 6 and verse 44, and then Christ is working with those people as the head of the church and preparing them to be able to help other people. They have to come out of this world. They can't live like this world lives anymore. God calls people out of this world and into his church so they can be trained to help Christ bring all who are willing, and thankfully that will be most people, into the family of God. There's a lot to discuss here and to think about with the church, and a lot of the history of it can be studied and understood, and what it teaches, all of that. That's available at thetrumpet.com. There's two books especially that are really great for this. One is Mystery of the Ages, which we quoted from a fair bit today. The other one is The True History of God's True Church. That's a great book. It goes through the history of God's church eras and shows that there's been a lot of persecution over the years because that's exactly what Christ said would happen. He said it would never die, but it would be persecuted. And the world would hate them because they hated Christ before them. Now, that's not the way people often think about church, but that's the truth of it. The church is made up of called out ones, and God's called them out for a very special and wonderful purpose that will benefit all of mankind. For much more on this, please request Mystery of the Ages free. You can read it online at thetrumpet.com if you'd like to download it. And also The True History of God's True Church. Both of those are free in their educational services at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.